It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Luke, chapter 13, we are starting from the verse 1.
There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Were those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Now we don't know who bought this story. Maybe a Pilate's people, maybe Herodian's people, maybe Jewish people, maybe Pharisees, or some lawyers. We don't know who bought this question. And what was their reason to asking Jesus Christ or telling this story what happened in the town? You know what they say? They say some of the Galileans were killed and their blood was mingled with their sacrifice. It's a bad story. Now, they wanted Jesus Christ to react. Maybe saying the Galileans were bad, they broke the law, that's why the punishment they got. Or they wanted to hear the Pilate is a bad man and the government is bad and they are killing Galileans. Jesus Christ is from Galilee. So now, if they say this Galilean, one of you people were killed, what is your reaction? Jesus Christ did not blame the government. He did not blame the Galilean, but he took the chance, advantage, and he starts saying, do you think these Galileans were worse sinner than all other Galileans? So what is he trying to say? You are all sinners. Those people died accidentally. Somebody killed them. Maybe they broke the law or whatever, and mingle their blood with their sacrifices. Those Galileans didn't know that Pilate is going to slaughter them and take their blood and put it with their sacrifice. They didn't know. Don't think those people were worse sinners. He's saying, you are all sinners. And if you do not repent, you all will be perished just like them. Now somebody says, somebody is going to slaughter us and put our blood in the sacrifice. No, he is trying to say the death can come anytime. Or the death can come by accident, that you are not even thinking the day and time. And then Jesus Christ gives another example, verse 4. He says there were 18 people building the tower. And the tower fell on those people, and all those 18 people were perished. He is saying, do you think that these 18 people died in this accident? Those people are worse sinners than all Jerusalem? So he is saying, no, those people were not worse sinners. But things happen. Accident happens. Are you ready? Are you ready when the death comes to you? Are you repented for your sins? And he says, if you don't repent, you will also perish just like them. Then somebody says, the tower has to collapse on us? No. He just gave the example, 18 people didn't know When this tower will collapse on them, they were doing good job. But they were all sinners. And he says, you are all sinners. They were not great sinners, greater than this all other Jerusalem people. So what he's trying to say? We are all sinners. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will also perish one day. And then we see in this Jewish nation, nobody came to tell them about repentance. Moses gave the law. And the law was saying, if you do something wrong, you bring the sacrifice. So there is nothing to repent. You do something harm, then the priest or the judge tells you to bring some sacrifice and you do, there is no change of heart. They even start doing the circumcision. God says, I don't want your circumcision of flesh. I want the circumcision of heart. I want your heart to be changed. Amen. Then he sends the John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And he tells people, repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Please read.
In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
And please read verse 8 and 9, 8 to 10.
Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
So what is trying to say? Repent. And how do you know I am repented? He says, bring the fruit of repentance. Let the people know that you were a sinner. And now you are changed. So he said, I want a change of heart. I want to see fruits in your life. Somebody should say, hey, I saw you used to smoke, drink, and gamble and everything. What happened? All of a sudden, your life is changed. Then you have a chance to testify that I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I repented of my sins. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he transformed me. That's the thing we want to see. And that's why he said, if you don't do it, then the axe is already on the root of the tree, and the tree will be cast down to the fire. Then Jesus Christ came. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. When the John the Baptist died, the ministry kept on going. Jesus Christ started preaching the same message of repentance.
Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, time is almost fulfilled. Do you know 2,000 years ago Jesus Christ is saying? He says, I came on the end of the time. Now time is rounding up. And so what are you going to do? He said, repent and believe the gospel. What gospel he was trying to say? He says, I came from my Father. Father sent me here. I'm going to die for the whole world. And I'm going to be resurrected. And I'm going to go and send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come and teach you everything what I taught. And then I'll come one day and take you with me in heaven. And then one day we will come back to this earth. And we will have millennium kingdom. And the one day we will have eternal kingdom in heaven. That's the good news Jesus Christ was saying. So he said, whatever I'm saying, are you believing? If you don't believe, if you don't repent, you will all perish just like those people. Then Peter comes. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 38.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Now hear what he's saying. Repent and be baptized, and then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are so many people in different churches. You go there, nobody preach about repentance. Very few people will preach about repentance. And if you ask them, why don't you preach? Say, we don't want to offend the people. They already know they are sinners. It doesn't work that way. Do you know that David, he killed one of his soldiers, Uriah, and married his wife. And he thought, I'm not doing anything wrong, because all the people in my kingdom, they are mine. So I can kill anybody, I can take anybody's wife, and I can do anything because I'm a king. Then the prophet comes to him, and he gives him a story. He says, do you know in your kingdom, there is a rich man, and he got a guest in his house, and that rich man had a servant, and that servant has a baby lamb, only one. And he loved that lamb just like his own child. The rich man said to his servant, bring your baby lamb. I want to make a feast for my guest. That man had no saying because he's the servant. So he gave the baby lamb and he made the feast for the guest. And when this story David heard, he says, who is that man in my kingdom? That man should be killed. He says, sir, you are the man. And then he repented. So point I'm making, people are not going to repent automatically. You have to tell them you have to repent. Otherwise, you are going to be lost. You are going to perish. And that's what Jesus Christ's message was here. And then book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Let's read Acts chapter 3, verse 19. What Peter is saying to these people.
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Now the Peter and John is telling to these Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers, they are picking on him, why the man got healed and is he really healed and all kinds of things. So he said, listen, you repent, so your sins will be blotted out. Don't you think it's a good thing to know? Once you repent, your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of your sins. But if you don't repent, all those sins are recorded in the God's book. And those sins will shout out the last day when the judgment day will come. And so this is a good time to repent. People are afraid to tell somebody to repent. If you have a boyfriend, you're afraid to tell him, oh, you are a sinner and you repent of your sin, you will lose that boyfriend. If you have a boss and you'll tell that boss, you know what, you are doing certain things wrong, you should repent, you lose your job. But if you are really a child of God, what you will do? You will pray and ask God to right timing. And the right timing will come, no matter he's a boss or no matter he's a servant, he will listen to you. See how Paul took the opportunity to talk to the king. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 20.
But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance.
Now here, Paul is testifying before the King Agrippa. I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but if you read that chapter, Agrippa said, Paul, you already convinced me to be a Christian. He said, not only you, but all my listeners will be Christian. That will be great. So he was not afraid of king. And so we should not be afraid of anyone to tell them to repent. So Jesus Christ is saying to all these Pharisees and all these people asking him question, he says, if you do not repent, you all will be perished just like them. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 6.
He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down.
Now here, he's giving another parable. He said there was a man had the fig tree in his garden, and the tree is not bearing fruits. 1 year passed, second year passed, third year passed, and no fruit. And the master is saying, the landlord is saying, you know what? 3 years, nothing is happening. But the gardener says, you know, master, give me one more year. I'm going to loosen the ground a little bit all around and put something, and then tree will give fruit. And if it doesn't, then we'll cut it and throw it in the fire, whatever. What the Jesus Christ was trying to say to the people, our God is so gracious. He's giving you a chance to repent. All the prophet came. John the Baptist came. Now I came. And Jesus Christ's ministry was how many years? 3.5 years. So he said, already 3 years passed. You're not repenting. One more year, maybe. And then, if you don't repent, we'll be cut down. God is trying to say, I am waiting for you. How many years? Do you know how many days in 1 year? 300 and what? 65 days. And how many hours? And how many minutes? And how many seconds in 1 year? If you have 3 years, calculate every minute and every second. This much time God gave it to you. 3 years or 4 years, and nobody repented. Sometimes people are living on this earth 90 years, 100 years. Some people I heard other day, 127 years. And if those people don't repent, God will say, how many times I gave you chances? Many times you heard radio. Many times you heard television. Many times my servant came and talked to you. Many times you read the Bible and I pointed out to you some things. But you didn't listen. Do you think on the judgment day you have a chance to say, I didn't have time? No. So he is saying, the time is given. And if you don't listen, the day is coming for judgment. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 13, verse 10.
And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity.
Now here is the situation. Jesus Christ is in the synagogue, just like a church. And he saw one lady, and that lady was bent down for 18 years. Now she is bent down up to her, means she can touch her toes. And Jesus Christ saw her. Now just think, in that synagogue, if Jesus Christ is preaching, just think, the Billy Graham comes and gives advertisement, I'm coming in such and such a church. People will not have room. They will be standing outside. That's the way Jesus Christ was very famous. And when he comes to synagogue, there will be people wall to wall. Now, we don't know where this lady was hiding, but he found out. There is a lady who needs me. And she's bending down, so he called her. And he called her and he says, you know what? You are bound and you are going to be loose. That means, you bend down for this many years, you are going to straighten out your back and you are going to be all right. Now, this Jesus did not tell her secretly in her ears. He told openly. So many people heard it. Many people saw it. The man in charge of the synagogue, he saw it. At that time, he did not say to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, today is a Sabbath. Don't heal this lady today. Maybe tomorrow." But he didn't say anything. See what happens. Let's read verse 13.
And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day."
Now see this in charge of the church, pastor or a rabbi, got mad at Jesus. What Jesus did? He didn't do any crime. Before he did the healing, he announced it. What's going to happen to this lady? He says, "You're going to be straight. You're bound. You're going to be loosed." And nobody said anything because they didn't have even faith that this lady is going to be all right. But when Jesus touched her and she was completely healed and straightened out, and she started praising God and glorifying God. Maybe she never glorified God before. She might be cursing God that God made me like this. We never know. But today she's praising God and glorifying God, and she's thankful that after 18 years, God had mercy on me, sent Jesus Christ in my way, and I got healed, and she was rejoicing. And here's another man get mad. He got so angry, and he had no courage to talk to Jesus. So what he's doing? He's telling audiences, "Hey people, Monday through Friday, you have days to come because we work Monday through Fridays or Sunday through Fridays. Saturday only we don't work. So why don't you come and get healed and Sunday to Friday? Don't come on Sabbath day." I had a question for this man. Jesus didn't ask, but if I was there, I would ask him a question. I said, "Sir, Sunday to Friday, many people come to your synagogue. How many people you touched and you healed?" Jesus Christ is not going to be there every week. He's a busy man. He's going to go all around the world. What do you do in your synagogue? How many people from Sunday morning to Friday evening people got healed? Can I have a testimony? His mouth will be shut. But Jesus did not embarrass him, but he did something else. He told him a story, so he should be embarrassed. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 13, 15. Go ahead.
The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering?"
Now he asked him a simple question. Let me ask you a question. If you have an ox or if you have a donkey and they are thirsty on Sabbath day, do you go loose them and take them to water? Yes or no? He would have said, "Yes, sir." Then, Sabbath day, you know how to do to good to your donkeys and your bulls and your cows. How much more the man's value is? That's what Jesus Christ was saying. You take care of our donkeys and you take care of your animals. Let's read further. Verse 16.
And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan is bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?
Then he's trying to say, do you know who this lady is? She's not foreign lady. She's not Gentiles. She is the daughter of Abraham. and the Abraham's daughter, Satan, bound for 18 years. She might be a member of that church for 18 years, we don't know. And you never try to lose her. And when she got loose, you got mad. Means what he's trying to say? You do not know the truth. You do not know what the Sabbath means. In Sabbath day, you should do something good. Amen. Save somebody's life. This lady was bound for 18 years. And now she's loose and the Sabbath day. And he's trying to say, why are you mad about this situation? And so what happens? Let's read verse 17.
And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Now when he said that, see what the word of God says. All his adversaries were ashamed. Not a one man. The one man was the in charge of the synagogue. But he might have his assistants. He might have the gangs of people say, you are the man. Why don't you tell Jesus that he is doing something wrong? But when he shut his mouth, he had no answers. So the word of God says all his adversaries, not one man, many other people were trying to accuse Christ. Their mouth was shut. And they feel shameful. They thought, why in the world we open our mouth? And now all other people are rejoicing, praising God and glorifying God. And what he's saying, what God has done. Now see, he says, people glorified for all the glorious things that were done by him. Glorious things. Not only one thing, that healing that lady. He healed many, many people that day. That's what he's trying to say. And so the lady was the one point. When people see the miracle, one person, blind man gets healed, everybody will run. One person get healed. One day I was preaching in one place, and that place was like in the middle of the town was a round circle. And people used to do their bazaar. And when I went there and I said, you know what? This place is very good to preach the gospel, because all around we can put all microphones, all the horns, and people can hear. We can put the stage here. We can put the lights and all the lamp poles. And this is very good. There was a lady doctor there, and her brother says, Pastor Peter, you don't know. This town is a Muslim town. And if you do that, they will kill you. I said, sir, you are afraid of dying? You don't do anything. You just sit there or stay home. But take me to the police station. I want to take a permit, license for the loudspeaker. And he took me there. It's a long story, but I'm going to cut short. I got the license. I got the stage. I got the lights. I got everything. And I said to the church people there, could you come bring your choir? They said, oh, we are not going to sing. They are going to kill us. And I gave them a message.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.